all who heard the shepherds were amazed at their message. I wonder, what did the shepherds see? Right before this gospel passage, a group of angels proclaimed the good news. A savior was born that day. He will bring peace to all people. St. Luke says that the angel stood before them and the glory of God shone all around them. And the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest," like we did just a few minutes ago. It must have looked spectacular, even more so than Hopeland Gardens. And I like Hopeland Gardens. Then the angels told the shepherds to go to Bethlehem, where they would find the family in a stable. So the shepherds went, they saw, and they were amazed. I wonder what they saw. Because after all, this was a very natural and beautiful scene. Parents with a newborn baby. What could be more natural? What could be more beautiful? There was a moment in that stable. Something happened to the shepherds. They saw in a new way. The ordinary became extraordinary. They saw the infant Jesus as the Savior. Pope Benedict XVI once said that the main purpose of Christianity is to provide people an encounter with Jesus Christ. It's not so much about the moral principles or theological teaching, these are important, but really what the church is about, he said, is providing an opportunity to encounter Christ, to meet the Lord in a personal way, to know that Christ is present. I think that all people who take their faith to heart have a stable moment, a moment in the stable when they meet Christ and they are amazed. Then the church shows the pathway to follow Christ. This is the way. Like the shepherds looking at that baby. I'm reminded of a story, and I may have told you this once before, of how a former student of mine, I teach at Fordham University, I teach theology there, and a former student of mine came to visit. He was raised Catholic, and he was trying to become an atheist. And so he argued with me. I think these people, when they come to talk, they think that we'll end up and I'll saying, "Hey, you know, you're right. 2,000 years of tradition has been wrong. You have just undermined all of Christian philosophy and pastoral practice." I've never said that. So he went at it debunking the miracles. They're all natural, you know, like the miracle of the loaves and the fish. Well, the crowd of people could have brought food and then shared it. Or Jesus walking on the water. It could have been low tide, he said. But before I could get a word in edgewise, he said, "But you want to know a real miracle, Father?" I was all ears. He said, "In 3 months, my wife is going to have a baby. And when that baby is born, that will be a miracle." "Oh," I said, "I'm happy for you. I will pray for the health of your wife and child." But I have to ask you, we've been talking about these miracles. You're debunking them. Babies are born every minute of every day. What makes your baby a miracle? He paused and then said, "I don't know, Father. I just know that'll be a miracle." Amen. Enough said. I wonder how many parents think of their newborn child as a miracle. Church, is that merely sentimental? Or is there something to this miracle? You see, there's an obstacle to thinking this way in our culture today. It is materialism. Materialism, I don't mean the greedy, money-grubbing type, no. It is the belief that something is real only if it is material, visible, physical, tangible, and logical. Some of my students will say respectfully that they cannot believe in God. They believe only in what can be proven through logic or observation, that is, through math and science. This is one way of knowing, and it is good. But we also know through faith what we believe to be true and when there is good reason to believe it. I think this is what happened to the shepherds in that moment at the stable. Standing in the presence of the infant Jesus, they believed that God was with them, Emmanuel. Some things we know by faith, we believe. When you think of it, we all make little acts of faith each day. Not in God necessarily, but we believe some things to be true, even without proof. Don't take my word for it. Take the story of the great Saint Augustine. Back in the 5th century, he was a materialist. I'm not telling tales out of school. He writes this in his Confessions. He accepted as real only that which could be proven by logic or observation. Now, Augustine was a very bright fellow, probably the smartest kid in class. Meanwhile, his mother, Monica, prayed for his conversion and that he would be baptized into the Catholic Church. But the young Augustine had no interest in Christianity. He was too cool for school and thought it was simply for simple-minded people. But Monica kept praying, and eventually Augustine was baptized. Today, Monica is a saint as well as her son. I do think all good mothers ought to be canonized. Can I get an amen for the mothers? Yes, it's pandering, but it works. St. Augustine was a materialist, and he was very bright. So he kept questioning his own understanding. And one day it dawned on him, and please, I do not mean to cause problems for families this morning, but Augustine wondered, if I can only be sure of what can be proven with scientific certainty, then how do I know that the two people I call my mother and my father are really my parents? He realized he had been making an act of faith all his life, a reasonable act of faith. Now, when we discussed this in my class, one of the students objected. He said, well, that may have been the case for Augustine way back in the 5th century, but today you can get a DNA test. And another student, who happens to be in pre-med, he spoke up with a little sarcasm, yeah, and you know how to read a DNA chart. Church, even if we had a DNA test, wouldn't most of us still need a doctor or a biologist to translate it? We would have to believe the scientist. You see, we make little acts of faith to move forward in our lives. So much of what we know is by believing. We know this too when we talk about people who are close to us. Don't we mean a closeness in the heart, not a physical closeness? I think of my mother. I miss her. She died 15 years ago, and she's still very close to me. In fact, is it too much to say that in some ways she's closer to me now than these good people in the front pew? Still very close to me. I would say that she has a place in my heart. You know what I mean. Now imagine if I had to undergo heart surgery, and after the operation, the cardiac surgeon visited me in the recovery room and he said, well, I have good news and bad news for you. The good news is that your heart is good, you will be fine. The bad news is that I heard you say that your mother has a place in your heart, but I looked all over there inside and I couldn't find her. I'm sorry. Wouldn't we say, oh, doctor, you just don't get it? The closeness with those we love goes beyond the physical, goes beyond the material. It is spiritual. It is real. Back at the stable on Christmas night, the shepherds had an encounter with Jesus Christ. They met the Lord there, and all who heard about it were amazed. Now, for your homework, church, please think about your own encounter with Jesus Christ. What was your stable moment? What encouraged you to follow in the faith of the Catholic Church? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is as present to us as those who love us. Church, would you say amen?